Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the podcast. It is time for the Daily Dive for February 28th, 2024. Now, if you haven't listened to the Q&A, I talk about the fact that I'm going to read the Sean Combs lawsuit and stuff in a separate episode, probably tomorrow, in place of the Daily Dive, or in addition to, because it's long. But I wanted to start off today because Taylor Swift is going to be in Singapore this week. And it is a story of greed. In early 2023, a team from Singapore flew to Los Angeles. They wanted to meet leaders from the sports and entertainment world. Taylor had not confirmed any international venues at that time. But a few minutes later, the Singapore team, working with the concert promoter AEG, promised to deliver Asia to Taylor in a deal, a six-day run of concerts at the National Stadium in Singapore, and it turns out the only Southeast Asian stopover tour. They announced these dates in June of 2023. Six shows, 60,000-person capacity from March 2nd to the 9th. 300,000 tickets have been sold, so there's still tickets available. But a large number of fans traveled in from Southeast Asia and the rest of the world. And this KASM, Kallang Alive Sports Management, initiated the idea for the tour to come to Singapore. And then people started asking, well, how come it's the only stop in Southeast Asia? And Singapore was asked if an exclusivity clause was in the agreement. And they said, well, there's certainly an understanding that it was an only in Singapore event, and that's how it was branded. Well, other countries in Southeast Asia were not happy. And the Thai prime minister found out. He was informed by AEG that the Singapore government offered subsidies. So Taylor's still selling the tickets at, you know, 360,000 available tickets. She gets her normal amount of money for that. But in addition to that, each concert that Taylor agreed to perform, as long as it was only in Singapore, they would throw in an extra $3 million US. So an extra $18 million if Taylor would just commit to only doing Singapore, not Thailand, not Indonesia, nowhere else. So she did. Because Singapore wanted, hey, everybody to come to our country so that way, because we know that we'll get the money back. I don't know. You know, there's a Coldplay played six shows in Singapore earlier this year, but they also played 2 days in the Philippines and 2 days in Thailand. There wasn't the exclusive kind of thing. So Taylor is getting an extra $18 million for these six shows, in addition to whatever she's getting from the ticket sales. It feels a little greedy. And making all these people from other countries fly to Singapore to see the shows. You guys know I love good gossip. I mean, and you know what I define as good gossip, something that makes, in this case, the paparazzi follow the person all day long to try and get some photos, to try and get a comment or two. And Us Weekly, who hasn't broken a news story that offended anybody in a decade, wrote one today. Hashtag blessed. There's a new twist in the Cyrus family drama. Why do Miley and certain side of that family, like Tish, hate Billy Ray, right? Well, it turns out that the bad blood is between Tish and the youngest daughter, Noah, about a fight over Dominic Purcell. Now, on the February 7th episode of Call Her Daddy, Tish, who's 56, says, hey, how did you meet Dominic and all that kind of stuff? And she said, oh, you know, I'd had a long time crush on him. I watched Prison Break. I watched it with Brandy and Miley. And that he was my hall pass throughout the 3 decades she was married to Billy Ray. And she said, back in 2016, Dominic had sent her like a friendly DM on Instagram, but she didn't see it and decided to, and that's an interesting thing. She missed it, did she? and decided to send him a message in 2022 shortly after filing for divorce. So it just randomly occurred to her, I'm going to send him a message. It doesn't make a lot of sense. What does, according to Us Weekly, make sense is that Noah, who's 24, was in a relationship with Dominic Purcell when Tish came along to take Dominic. The quote was, Noah was seeing Dominic when Tish started pursuing him. Tish was aware of the situation. But Tish said, oh, we fell head over heels. She talked about a first date. So we go to lunch and make out for 3 hours. And then they said, I love you a day later. Well, Dominic knows where the money is. And the money isn't with Noah. The money is with Tish. And she's been buying him stuff like crazy. But when Tish and Purcell got married at Miley's house in August of 2023, Noah wasn't there. Everybody said, oh, she skipped because she'd taken her father's side in the divorce. She hadn't been invited. And Miley had armed guards outside her home as a precaution to keep Noah, who lives a couple of blocks away, out if she tried to attend. So TMZ and all the paparazzi were following Tish today and saw Dominic and just like shouting out questions. Think about this, okay? I mean, Noah's 24 now, but she was a couple of years younger. And Dominic Purcell, like 52, and Noah's like 22 or something like that. And then you take the guy away. But like I said, she probably didn't have to try too hard to take him away because the money is with Tish. But that's some good gossip. And also good gossip, everybody always loves to see Ben Affleck photos with Jen Garner. And they're going to start filming a movie, obviously, in a couple of weeks. First time that they've worked together since after they got married and divorced. No, talked about it. But they were at like a soccer game for one of the kids. And you should see Ben Affleck just smiling and laughing and having the best time of his entire life. Like full teeth smile, laughing. Have you ever seen that with Jennifer Lopez? No, you have not. What we also haven't seen is Andy Cohen actually doing cocaine. But if you read the blinds on the site, and have been reading them for the last decade, then you know that there are many, 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 many blinds about Andy Cohen doing coke. A lot of them come from Mr. X. And this is before the Kathy Griffin stuff and everything like that. This is a decade ago. And Lee McSweeney, I read her court filing today. It was like 120 pages or something like that. A long one. And compared to the Sean Combs one, kind of boring. It's a very well laid out lawsuit. And it's basically the same lawyer that Cardi B used in her defamation case. And the whole point of the whole thing is that Leah McSweeney told Bravo that she has an alcohol problem. So that should be a disability and they should make accommodations for her. And they did not. That's the bottom line in it. There's the salacious stuff. Is that they intentionally preyed on her alcohol problem. So not even, you know, providing, you know, for her disability, but actually actively intentionally preying on her to try and get record ratings. And, you know, basically Scary Island was the most popular episode ever. And where the you know, one of the stars appeared to be confused, irrational, and losing touch with reality. And Bravo liked to repeat that. They knew that she was battling alcohol addiction when she joined the show and had a history of serious mental health problems, but they saw her condition, according to the lawsuit, as an opportunity to hit the ratings jackpot again by messing with her head until she went off the rails. And it says that the producers were desperate to have her relapse. They kept trying to get her to drink over and over again. They tried to coax her. They tried to coerce her. They tried to refuse her time in her schedule to go AA meetings. And when she refused to drink, they tried other ways to mentally destabilize her. They wanted the on-camera meltdown. And Leah's talked about her, you know, her addiction. She's talked about the time that she's spent in a psychiatric hospital. But she said that even before she started shooting her first season, season 12, which also had Luann, Sonya, and Ramona, she told the producers that she'd been sober for 30 days and that she was working to maintain her sobriety. One of the things that's also mentioned in there is that the producers, you know, got rid of Dorinda because she was a mean drunk. They got rid of Sonya because, you know, the drinking was also, they wanted a fun drunk. They wanted a Luann. Well, she tells them, hey, I'm 30 days sober, but instead of helping her stay sober, or again, providing reasonable accommodation because of her disability, she said that they supplied her with unlimited free of charge alcoholic beverages throughout her employment, encouraged her to consume the beverages. So then she relapsed into alcohol addiction shortly after joining the season. And one of the lines that's getting the most play today is Cohen's proclivity for cocaine usage with his employees is well known throughout the Real Housewives franchise. In fact, Cohen tends to provide the housewives with whom he uses cocaine with more favorable treatment and makes them appear more agreeably in edits of their shows. And then that sent everybody back to the Kathy Griffin stuff, where she said that he used to offer her coke every time she was on the show. Go back, look at the blinds. As somebody who promoted a lot of concerts, I don't know what Ja Rule was thinking. He booked a whole bunch of UK dates through a promoter, knowing that he had spent time in jail and that the UK is not that great about it. But instead of trying, you know, to use his own legal team to try and get a work visa to go to the UK, he relied on the promoter. So basically, some shows that he was going to have this week, he had to cancel. He said, I'm so devastated. I can't believe the UK won't let me in. I spent $500,000 in production of my own money to put this tour together, only to be denied entry days before my shows. This is not fair to me or my fans. These venues are 85% sold, and now I can't come. He wrote this yesterday. Okay. Why are you spending $500,000, which I don't think he has, $500,000... on shows where you don't have a work visa? Now, he announced the dates back in December, so they had time. But before you even announce the dates, you try and get the work visa. You know, it's a 25th anniversary celebration. It was 10 shows. And Carrie Hilson was going to be there, Lloyd, Maya, everybody. And it's supposed to start on Friday. And it was going to end March 17th in Glasgow. But yeah, the UK is tough. You know, if you have a criminal record and if you've been in jail longer than like 2 years or something like that, and that's how long he was sentenced in 2010, after pleading guilty to attempted possession of a weapon in connection with a 2007 arrest on gun and drug possession charges, got another 2 years in prison on tax evasion charges. So, but he's saying that the promoter said it wouldn't be an issue. The promoter started selling tickets, get your refunds. But you're the one who spent $500,000 of your own money. You got to check into these things. You know, you can get waivers, but you got to do it the right way. Some sad news. Richard Lewis, just a very great comedian, underrated. I remember that show that he used to do with Jamie Lee Curtis. I can't remember the name of it now. But he died at age 76 due to a heart attack on Monday. But everybody just found out today. And everybody found out because of Bette Midler. She's the one who posted today on Twitter. She said, on a sad note, the great Richard Lewis has died. Steve Martin said, great sadness. And Lewis's publicist confirmed it, said Richard Lewis passed away peacefully at his home in Los Angeles last night after suffering a heart attack. You know, he'd been battling Parkinson's. Curb Your Enthusiasm, speaking of accommodating disabilities, they helped him get through, you know, his final season of that show. When you saw him out in public, he, you know, didn't look well. So I don't have any great Richard Lewis stories. I actually only ever saw him one time. And it was at Chateau Marmont, where you can't take pictures or anything. So, but back then he looked pretty good. Now what doesn't look good is Adam Driver's dad. And I've told you guys that there are certain people who send me tips on whoever they are focused on. And there are always a lot of Adam Driver things out there. And I got a tip today. And it said, ever wonder why Adam Driver's father works retail at an office supply store when he actually graduated from Baptist Bible College now Mission University, with a degree that would enable him to be the pastor of his very own church. Or why, when he and Nancy divorced, he didn't fight for his family, and Nancy drove 2,200 miles just to get away from him. And they included something from the California sex offender list. And he is a registered sex offender. He did something bad with somebody under the age of 15, which is why he's not a pastor. But speaking of pastors, Stephen Baldwin reposted a message asking for prayers for his daughter Haley and her husband Justin. And I was just like, okay. He had shared this post from Victor Marks, who's founder of All Things Possible Ministries, and it had a video of Justin Bieber playing the guitar and singing along to I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. And this pastor said, "Christians, please, when you think of Justin and Haley, take a moment to offer a little prayer for them to have wisdom, protection, and to draw close to the Lord. There are special challenges that folks in high visibility positions face, and also the enemy doesn't want them to draw closer to Jesus. So often, regardless of the material things or the accolades, they often face spiritual warfare that intends and seeks to shipwreck their faith, marriage, and life in general. So thank you." And then Stephen Baldwin reposted it. So then everybody's like, well, is there something wrong with their marriage because the pastor did put that in there? Maybe Justin and Haley decided to not give to the church. Maybe Justin and Haley cut off Stephen. Maybe Justin's battling a drug problem. We already know that there's marriage issues. But this is, they're basically saying in this that Justin and Haley are sinners or having trouble, you know. They want them closer to Jesus. So maybe come to church and give us some money. Now, in the news this week, 90 Day Fiancé, and whenever they're in the news, it's always the craziest stuff because they find the craziest people to film that show. But Angela Deem got into a fight with her husband, Michael, a long time ago. It was a resurfaced clip that we found because Michael had been listed as missing by Angela. And so everybody looks at this clip that was initially released last September. And Angela Deem shows up to her husband's house in Nigeria, unannounced. Just shows up in the middle of Nigeria and causes a scene after he refuses to take down his Instagram. And you can see her in the video banging on her husband's door in the middle of the night. He doesn't answer. She starts tearing apart his vehicle, which she claimed was shared property. And you hear her shouting, "You don't respect my family. I don't respect nobody. It's the middle of the night and I'm tired, but I'm really exhausted from Michael's constant disrespect." And she's like taking apart his bumper, the license plates off his car. And he walks up and goes, "What is the meaning of this?" And then Angela runs over, throws a punch at him. But her husband holds up her arms. The cameras are still rolling. He's saying, "Stop it. Look at my car. What's the meaning of this? Are you mad? You can't just come to my place like that. Are you crazy?" And then Angela says, "Oh, you're a baby because you're crying." And then he kicks his wife out of the compound and he goes, "I'm done." But he did fly to Georgia in December 2023 to meet up with Angela. What she went on TikTok this week to say, "Hey, my husband's been missing since Friday." Offered her followers $10,000 for his safe return. And then on Monday, it was revealed that her husband had contacted police via a burner phone and told them he did not want Angela to know where he was. Just a crazy show. Also crazy is Ghislaine Maxwell photographed jogging behind bars in Florida. She ran in her prison's official half marathon. It was 19 inmates who decided to do it. They ran 52 times around the prison's track to cover 13.1 miles. You know, she has her appeal coming up next month. There's no way that anything will happen with that. The blind items revealed from today. Number one is from February 20th. The barely there state celebrity can say what she wants, but she has had more work done to her than 99% of the people her age. And that's Alabama Barker. Number two is from February 20th. The stands of this former A-plus list superhero have always hated his actress significant other, but this is next level. They wrote a huge article with quotes and everything else about the superhero splitting with his significant other. They're hoping tabloids around the world read the news report they posted online. And that's Chris Evans and Alba Baptista. Number three is from February 21st. When this A-plus list singer was dating her last guy, our singer had to reach out to the woman the guy had been hooking up with and pay her some money and have her sign an NDA because of the murky timeline. The guy is now back with that same woman. That's Taylor Swift, Maddie Healy, and Gabrielle Bechtel. Number four is from February 21st. The illiterate reality star could sell her used things and give the proceeds to charity, but she just sells things for her own wallet even though she doesn't need the money. And that's Kim Kardashian. And number five is from February 21st. The only difference between the former 1/5 and a lot of other celebrities is the former 1/5 got caught managing her fan account. And that's Normani and Fifth Harmony. And that is it for this one, you guys. I will talk to you later.